I'm ready.
All righty, I'm ready too.
Okie dokie, I'll talk to you in a little while, yo.
Talk to you in a bit, Slick.
Continuing.
Continuing. You know, I was looking over my notes. I have so many questions for you, Elias. It's a good thing we have eternity. That's all I'm saying. So I was looking over my notes, and I do, like, there's some perception questions I want to ask, but I'm like, I wonder if I have it in me to even comprehend or ask these questions, but we'll see how it goes. But before that, in the regards to climate change, I want to ask you this. Is there any direction that John and I can move in personally that we are not currently, that will be beneficial to us in regards to climate change?
I would say that what you're doing now is sufficient and beneficial, and I would also say to you that the direction that you are engaging now in wanting to be traveling,
yeah,
is part of it.
You know, it's funny because I always have like our quote unquote plan B, whether it happens or doesn't, it doesn't really matter to me, but it's the saying of, okay, we'll put a tent in the back of the Tesla and off we go. You know, if we lose everything, that's our plan, you know, and it's good from the respect that, yeah, I'm like, you know, because what that does for me is let me know that my life can look in a lot of different ways, and I can be happy in a lot of different ways. So that gives me peace, that knowing, you know, I don't necessarily, no matter how kind of how it turns out, it can look good. I mean, I can.
And I would also express to you that this also gives you the opportunity to interact with other individuals.
Yes.
And be an example.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's cool.
Not teach them.
I agree. I get that.
Instruct them, but merely be an example to them.
I know, and I still feel that, and as you know, it's becoming less and less, but I still, every once in a while, feel that, oh, I've got to tell you this is the right way to look at things. And I notice when it's coming up in me, and sometimes I still do it, and then sometimes it's like, nope, I'm not going to do it. And so I am aware of it, and I know what direction I want to go into that, just being more and more of the example, and I feel like I got a good handle on going in that direction. So I don't feel like I have to necessarily harp on it. But another thing, like going, like me going back and forth and back and forth. So it's interesting to me also, you know, with climate change, and we have this house on the coast, and my sister bought a house in the area, in the same area, kind of like, oh, you know, Ann and John are there, let's there. And my mother, as you know, is also contemplating a Maine. And I'm like, oh, it's kind of cool, like we all could end up there or be there sometimes, and we could unite there. And then all of a sudden I'm thinking, especially I'm thinking my mom thinking about buying a place there. And I'm like, are we, you know, and what if I sell our place after they all buy a place, you know? So I like go back and forth. I do like the idea of keeping it. I mean, I'm okay selling it more and more. There's a time I didn't want to sell it at all. But I do like the idea, like the of keeping it and of this meaning place and this, you know, also. So I go back and forth on that too. Sell it, keep it. Do I feel guilty if we do sell it after everyone else has moved to where we are? Or, I mean,
it is not your responsibility.
Yeah.
I would put to you that if other individuals move there, that is their choice. And it isn't contingent upon whether you are there or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get that. But.
Don't take responsibility for expressions that aren't your responsibility. You have enough to be responsible for with yourself.
Yes, I agree. So anyhow, so at this current time, I'm thinking not to sell it, although I feel like it's just at the very beginning of, but at this current time, I'm thinking not to sell it. And I just want to know, do you agree with that? Or do you think we should sell it?
No, I would express that there is no necessity to move in that direction at this point.
I feel like there's still a lot of fun that I want to have there. I feel like there's a lot more that I feel like there's more that I want to do there in that area around. That's what I feel like. That's why I would not want to get rid of it yet, because I just feel like there's more to do for me.
I would expect to follow your intuition.
All right. Okay. All right, Elias. Now, let's see how this goes. Talking about perception, because I do want to talk about perception. Well, first of all, I'm going to ease it. Arthur and I talked, and we have a lot of questions going back to this avatar and perception and what has perception and what doesn't. And I do want to talk about that. But since we're kind of in a little segue, I was thinking with this, I was playing around a little bit with this, with perception in my own life. I was feeling really, really good. Everything's so good. And then I noticed letting myself put my attention maybe on some drama things on Facebook or in the media. And I noticed myself not feeling that well. But then as you say, you know, feelings are very attractive. And I'm like, and I was aware of what I was doing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is attractive. I just want to go down this road a little bit. And I went down. I placed my attention more on it. And a little bit of, oh, this is right. This is wrong. This is what we should do. And a little bit of is exciting, like the new election and this Tulsi Gabbard, who I'm thinking, oh yeah, she'd be a great president, and kind of getting into all that. But I could feel myself also, you know, engaging that again, like if you get in it, like with politics, and I could feel it. I was starting to get a little anxious, a little whatever. And then boom, this, the climate change session comes out. And then I'm like, ugh, I don't feel good at all. I was pissed off. I'm angry. And I'm like, okay. Look what you just did, girl. Look what you just did. And then I thought, okay, all right. That's all right. Because I have my power. You know, I'd get up in the morning. I'd lie in my bed and go, okay, I have imagination at my disposal. And I can imagine these great things. And I can feel better. And da-da-da. Start to feel good again. So I know I'm giving myself exercises and changing my perception. And I'm knowing I'm getting more awareness of, yep, I'm doing this. This is what I'm doing. And then I thought, isn't that interesting? Somehow I thought this climate change session was going to really help us understand perception. And maybe I think that's one, how it helped me more experientially, but I'm wondering, like, as a broader, like, Elias Forum group or whatever, you know, as there are no coincidences, you're talking about perception more. Now you're bringing up climate change. Seems like this is no accident. So I'd like
to. Yeah. You are wondering whether perception and the subject of climate change are related.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I know I don't want to go in the direction, like, well, people kind of argue over this. Well, I'm going to just shift my perception and I'm going to go to a planet that doesn't have climate change or whatever. And I don't necessarily want to go down that road because that road annoys me. But, I mean, unless I would go down that road if you thought it was beneficial, but it's not that I don't think that is as pertinent as I feel that there is something. I guess it might just be as simple as perception, pay attention to our perception and how we're creating our perception. And it just might be as simple as this is how we are going to not create trauma as we flow with these changes that are happening in our world. And it could just be as simple as that.
Correct. And I would say that definitely what I have been expressing is a part of that, because it is linked to perception in that there are so many individuals that continue to incorporate the perception that it isn't affecting them.
Right.
Or that it isn't happening in their reality, or that they are perceiving certain expressions that are happening in their reality as not being related to climate change.
Correct.
And in that, not acknowledging what is actually happening. And that perception is significant because it prevents individuals from moving in directions that are less traumatic, that are influential in different capacities. Now, let me express to you. Here would be an example that would actually incorporate choices and decisions that would be in the direction of altering a direction or altering a lifestyle. Let me use an example, or perhaps two examples, in your particular country, because it is your country, and therefore you can, in a manner of speaking, relate to it more than if it were in another country. Now, in relation to your country, let us use one example in relation to your coast and one example in relation to your western coast. In association with people in positions that could be generating very different choices than they are. Let us say, hypothetically, that you're looking at individuals that are contractors that own construction companies. Now, as an individual that perhaps resides on your western coast, and being an owner of a construction company, what direction do you responsibly move in if you are acknowledging the situation of climate change? Do you move in a direction of bidding on certain jobs or wanting to be the builders of communities that, in order to build those communities, it requires that you clear a significant portion of land. That you clear all the vegetation from a particular portion of land. And taking into consideration what the land configuration and the building situation is in the surrounding area, in the immediate surrounding area. Is there a considerable amount of construction and building that has already been generated in the immediate surrounding area, or is there open land? Now, as that individual that incorporates a construction company, and let us say that this is a significant construction company, large enough that it could actually build an entire community. But as the owner of that company, where are you building? You are based on the western coast. Is that actually a viable, reasonable area for you to be building a new community? Is that a responsible choice?
No. But how?
Or if you are a contractor on your eastern coast, let us say in Florida, in which, let's say you are a contractor with a significant company in Miami, which is underwater. Is it reasonable and responsible to engage a contract to build more condominiums and office buildings in that area? What is around the surrounding areas? What is the condition of the land? How much is the water already being pumped out of the streets and continuing to remain? Is it responsible to build in that area? No, it isn't, but they will.
I know, but see, this is the whole freaking point of why...
What I am saying to you is, you are not a contractor. You are not an individual that is moving in that direction. Now, what I would say to you, as an individual, if you yourself engage a significant friendship with an individual that owns a construction company and that is based in a particular area that is somewhat volatile, then in that, I would express that that might be a situation in which not instructing the other individual, but perhaps encouraging the other individual to explore other avenues, other areas that there will be a necessity for. To move in a direction of being aware of not only generating money, which they likely already have significant amounts of, but how will they engage their significant amounts of money to be contributing to a more efficient society by using their materials, by using their technology and their equipment to be building in places that will be used now, but will also help serve for the future.
So the area that I live in, Washington, D.C., and you know I work for, I don't know if you know, but I work for a builder. And it's, as you're sitting here talking, I'm thinking, you know, it's interesting. I just thought, oh, because we got a new president. We are going to get a new president. He's been there, but they're assigning this guy, this young guy, he's 35 years old, as the president of this company. And it's like 10 years ago, we were in this team building exercise together. And I remember just being really impressed with him. And I told him, I said, gosh, someday you should lead a company. I felt really good about it. And then when he got this promotion, this announcement, I said, you remember? And he said, I remember. And then as I was thinking, I'm like, the old president is a guy I really like. I really like him. He's been great. But I thought, I would never in a billion years share this session with him. But I thought, gosh, this new president, I wonder if I could just like share this session with him, even though he's not in Florida. So I'm just wondering, like in this area, building in this area, are we, so what about the area we're building? Is that going to be affected by climate change as much as like Florida or?
Not in the same capacity.
Yeah.
Everything is affected.
Well, yeah.
But different manners. Now in that, what I would say is that there are definitely many places that it is beneficial to be continuing to engage and address to infrastructure and to build and to be generating usable space arrangements for people because they are and will be more and more displaced.
So that's another interesting thing. So here we look around, like John and I look around and we go, look at all these apartments they're building. There's building so many apartments. Where are all the people gonna come from to fill these apartments? And maybe it's like, okay, we're building, they're gonna come.
And they will.
Yeah, wow. How about that? So Washington,
what I would hear is that in certain areas that are viable areas that can sustain more individuals, that can be tremendously beneficial. And it is responsible in relation to the subject of climate change because people are already being displaced, and they will be more.
Okay, so everyone's
have somewhere to go.
Okay, so everyone's been asking, okay, is it safe for me to stay here or here or whatever? So what about, where are good places to build? Where are some good places to build that would be great for all these people that are going to need homes?
I would say to you, there is a tremendous amount of your particular country that is empty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would say that you have an enormous country.
Yes, I agree.
And there are definitely pockets of populations that are more dense than others throughout the entirety of the country. But there is a tremendous amount of land that is empty. That there is no population. And what I would say to you is that even in your areas that are closer to your coastal areas that may not be directly engaged with a coastline, there are tremendous amounts of land that is unused. But it is also a matter of being responsible in relation to the vegetation, the forests, and not moving in directions in which you would be eliminating the forestry.
Right.
That is a very significant piece. Because, as I expressed in the previous conversation in relation to this subject, individuals don't realize, but their forests are their conduit. And in that, their forests are what attract the water that is being projected from the rainforest.
Yes.
It needs a receptacle. This is the reason that places such as your state of California and your area of Mexico that is identified as Baja are generating significant damage and drought because there is no longer the receptacle. There is no longer the trees that attract the water. They don't only attract water from the ground. They attract water from their canopy.
Yeah.
In the air. Therefore, it is important to assess and survey the land to recognize that the forests are important to be preserved, but the forests don't cover all of landmass. That there are plenty of areas that are not covered by forestry that can be developed. Even in areas such as, let's say, hypothetically, merely as a simple example, Virginia or North and South Carolina. Now, these are coastal states, but they are states that do incorporate significant land that isn't directly on the coast. They are, in a manner of speaking, stacked states because they're lateral. Therefore, they are theoretically rectangles stacked states along your eastern seaboard, but they do incorporate significant land inland and viable land. Viable land for growing. Therefore, it is a matter of genuinely looking at the different areas in a realistic manner in relation to what your needs are in relation to forestry, in relation to vegetation, in relation to crop growing, how you can sustain yourselves. This is also the reason that I was mentioning in relation to food sources, moving in directions in which there would be encouraged individuals rather than continuing to be overfishing your oceans, not taking away from individuals' livelihoods, but redirecting them rather than incorporating fishermen that are generating their livelihood, so to speak, from fishing the ocean, redirecting that in relation to creating more fish farms, which would also be, in a manner of speaking, for some fishermen, safer.
Yeah.
But it isn't a matter of taking away industry or taking away livelihoods, but redirecting them and reconfiguring them in capacities that are more sustainable and more efficient, rather than being a fisherman. Individuals could be redirected to be fish farmers,
right,
which would be more efficient and more effective. And in that, if individuals were being redirected to be creating fish farms, they would also be more aware and paying more attention to how they are engaging the water, because the water sustains their livelihood.
Right. Okay. All makes perfect sense, Elias. And it all makes perfect sense. You know, it's just a matter, though, you know, it's like, okay, so what do I do now? Like, I know to get myself in a good place and to follow my inspirations and all that. And it's like, yeah, I want to tell people this stuff, but it's finding that balance of not preaching and just sharing. And it's just, And I feel like I do feel that everything you're saying is it's important, and I do believe you, and I do want to go in that direction, but I don't want to fall into that pit of feeling helpless because I can't, because the other people, some other people, most of the other people don't believe it.
I'm understanding, but that is also a matter of perhaps for some individuals, depending upon their financial situation, of encouraging and engaging other individuals by initiating in directions of wanting to begin a particular action, such as creating a fish farm or moving in a direction of generating a cooperative and growing.
Which
Now, that
interest,
isn't for everyone to do.
right? There are people actually, even before you said that, obviously, like there's one, some people in the Elias Forum, one wants to start a cooperative on the East Coast and one on the West Coast. I'm aware of two people who are more than two people, but two groups who are moving in that direction.
That is tremendous. That is excellent. And that is another example of using what you have to move in directions to encourage and inspire other individuals to cooperate with you.
Yeah.
And the more you do, and the more you are successful in what you do, the more that provides valuable examples to other individuals that may be confused as to what they can do.
Right. That makes great sense.
I would express to you in a similar manner that I have to another individual recently, that for those of you who are not in those types of positions, that doesn't mean that you aren't contributing at all, or that what you are contributing isn't enough. Let me express to you, a tremendous contribution can be a grandmother telling bedtime stories to her grandchildren about space travel.
Yeah, I heard that.
Rather
Yeah.
than fairy tales.
Right.
Because that creates a situation in which it is inspiring
Yes.
to young individuals. And then when they grow, they are inspired to be moving in those types of directions rather than moving in directions of finding Prince Charming.
Right. All right, I get that, and I feel good, and I feel I mean, it's yeah, and it's all yeah, I understand it's all interconnected, and you don't know how when you do this it yeah, you just have to set yourself sights in this direction you want to go, and then you just express all that to
Correct. In
everyone that you
that,
meet,
let
yeah.
me also express to you that you don't realize the influence that you have. You might be an individual that, let us say, is an interior decorator, and you are expressing, I'm not contributing in any manner to all of these expressions of what to do about climate change. That may not necessarily be correct at all, because I would say that an individual that is in that position could be very instrumental and influencing in relation to what types of materials individuals incorporate in their homes.
Yes, yes.
Teak wood is beautiful, but it also is acquired at a great cost.
Yes.
It may be lovely, but is it important enough to sacrifice your future for?
Right.
In this, different materials can be expressed in relation to how an individual can adorn and decorate their home in a manner that is also responsible to themselves and their planet.
Yes, I get it.
That is equally an important direction for individuals to engage. It doesn't matter what position you are in, you have something that you can contribute and that you are already contributing. It is merely a matter of recognizing in what manner are you contributing.
Yes. Okay, well, I think we only have about like 20 minutes left, and I do want to get some perception questions in that will jumpstart my conversations that I've been going back and forth with Arthur on.
Very well.
Some things that we'll have to, it'll all happen in good time when it's supposed to happen, this perception conversations, but perhaps you can give us some information that will give us some more fodder to chew upon. All right, so here let me find my little circle thing. I want to ask about, where the hell did it go? So I'm going to start here, although I'm kind of confused, so it's hard to know what to ask, but okay. You say that, okay, when you say everything has perception, do you mean has or uses it, or is a byproduct of perception? First of all, let's start with myself. Do I have perception? Do I use perception? And I'm a byproduct of perception.
Or all of the above? All three.
All three, yeah, okay. So now, okay, let's have that be our baseline. And then when you say everything has perception. What a grain of sand has perception, correct?
Yes.
All right. Everything for that. Does music have perception?
No.
Okay.
Because it isn't a thing.
All right, so then, what's the difference between, like, you said, does an avatar and a video game have perception? You said yes, right?
Yes.
But you did say a character in a book did not have perception, correct?
Correct.
Because
it isn't a thing of either.
Because it
is. It is product of your imagination.
Okay, so to have
perception. A book, it is merely words.
Right.
And now, outside of the book, it may be something else, but in the book, it is merely words that are put together.
So do the words have perception?
No, it is not a thing.
Right. The ink would have perception, right? And the paper would have perception, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's like the difference in there. So to have anything that is a thing has perception, okay? Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, so anything that is a thing has perception. So now, all right, I didn't want to go there, but let me go into the sentient being.
Does
everything, or does everything that has perception, is it a sentient being?
That would be the question, would it not?
Okay.
I would say, in the definition of a sentient being, not necessarily.
Okay, in the current definition, right.
But then that could also be questionable if you are looking at that from the perspective of consciousness. Because what you define as a sentient being is something that is self-aware.
Right.
Now, that depends on how you are defining being self-aware.
So you're talking, so a grain of sand is self-aware, or is it not?
I didn't say that.
You said it has perception. Okay, so, well, I'm asking you, is a grain of sand, you did say like a tree is aware of itself, right? You did say that. All right, so is a grain of sand aware of itself?
Now, that is what I expressed, is the question. It is a matter of how you define that. If you define it as consciousness, then would
yes.
it be self-aware? Yes, if it is consciousness. If you don't define it as consciousness, would it be self-aware? Then perhaps no.
Right. Okay. All right. So, taking into the thing that you said, going back to our avatar who thinks it's making its own decisions.
Yeah.
Does a grain of sand think it's making its own decision to be a grain of sand, or is it just a grain of sand? Just being
it doesn't think.
Okay, but the avatar thinks.
Yes, because you are engaged with it, and you think. Therefore, you transfer that to the avatar. Now, it doesn't necessarily think in the same capacity as you. But neither do animals, but they do think.
Right.
Now, in that, that would be different. A grain of sand doesn't think. But then is thinking necessary for self-awareness?
My gut thing, because obviously it's what I'm used to, being physical and a thinking person, would say yes. I'm
and
open to it being
I would
wrong.
That most individuals would say yes.
So I would say yes. It requires thinking to be self-aware. So let me ask you this. Does it require thinking to be self-aware?
What I would say to you, my friend, is there is no necessarily right or wrong answer
yeah,
to that question.
I know. It feels like a
slippery. It definitely
down.
Is a matter of perception
yeah.
that, once again, I would say that it is a matter of how you are defining consciousness.
Yeah.
If you define everything as being consciousness, then is it required that you have the ability to think, to be self-aware? I would say no. But I would also say that as humans, you would likely define that in order to be self-aware, that it would require that you have the ability to think, that you have a thought process.
So as we have these kind of conversations and think about them, I know they're like fun to think about and they can be a value, but sometimes I think, you know, we could go around because, you know, everything is right and everything is wrong and all depends on where you're looking at it. Like we could go around and around in circles talking about this stuff forever.
And you could. I would say to you that that isn't the point.
Right.
What is the point is what you interact with and what is significant in your reality and how you interact with that. I would definitely say to you that a tomato plant is aware of itself. A chrysanthemum is aware of itself, but those are all things that you label as alive. Therefore, in that, I would say that in varying degrees, including varying degrees with humans, anything that you deem to be alive has some degree of self-awareness. I would say that there are other things in your reality that you don't consider to be alive that do also have some capacity of self-awareness, some more than others. And in that, in relation to technology, in relation to computers and avatars, I would say that they incorporate more self-awareness than other manifestations that are not necessarily alive, so to speak. But then again, I would say that it would be questionable as to whether any type of crystals would be self-aware. They are different from other stones, other rocks, so to speak. They are not the same. The reason they possess individual qualities is because they grow. Other rocks don't grow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay, Elias, I'm going to stop you there because we're going to run out of time and I just have some questions that may or may not be related, but I just want to ask you about some of these things. One thing, John and I both smelled marijuana in our closet. And we're like, the heating and air wasn't even on. So it's like, oh, it couldn't come through the vents. It couldn't have come. What were we smelling? I mean, it was something besides marijuana. There's no marijuana in our closet. I mean, it might have been marijuana, but how the hell did it get there?
It doesn't necessarily have to be in your physical proximity.
Well, yeah.
That does mean that you couldn't connect with it and actually connecting with a physical sense, such as your sense of smell, if it is anywhere in a reasonable proximity to you, not necessarily in your own space arrangement.
Okay, so were we, I mean, was that just, okay, it's in the building and our sense, we were just paying more attention to our sense of smell and we smelled it? Or was
what
it?
That was an experience that you gave yourselves in relation to that subject of becoming more aware of your interconnectedness.
Okay. Okay. So it felt, okay, that's good. It felt significant.
Actually using your senses to validate that.
Okay. Let me see what else. Oh, and then, you know, when you said playing around with turning our senses, you know, and playing around with perception and playing around with turning a sense of senses on and off. And like you said, oh, you know, listen and then turn your sense of hearing off.
Yeah.
And when I was trying to do that, Elias, I'm like, well, now I'm really paying attention to my hearing. I can't turn my hearing off when I'm freaking paying attention to my hearing.
It can be considerably challenging, can it not?
Well, yeah, I would say challenging, damn near impossible, whichever word you want to use. So, how in the hell am I supposed to turn off my sense of hearing when I'm thinking about hearing?
Because you move your attention to a different sense more.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll play around with that. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But is light a translation or okay? Is light a physical equivalent of essence?
An equivalent of essence? No.
It's a physical translation of essence?
Right?
Yeah. No?
No.
No. Okay. Okay. Let me just... I know these are just separate things. I'm just curious. All right. So if you say... I was reading a very old session where you were saying love, color, and tone. Those are truths. And now you have recently added time to that, time to being a truth. Is there any other truths right now besides love, color, tone, and time?
Reality. Consciousness. Energy.
And awareness, okay. Oh, I'm glad awareness is a truth.
What constitutes truth is something that can be translated in any area of consciousness.
So interesting, was time always a truth, or is that just, in my perspective, recently become a truth?
No, I would say that it has not necessarily always been a truth, but it also hasn't recently been designated as a truth.
So that is interesting. As physical consciousness expands, then that's kind of then non-physical and all everything is, I mean, I know this sounds like such a stupid thing,
you
but
are
everything
correct.
Is expanding, which is kind of exciting. So instead of thinking about us, like sometimes I still think, oh, you know, die, returning to nothingness, which I know it isn't nothingness, but still there's a part of me that's like, it's kind of nice to know that it's always becoming more.
Yes, it is always expanding. And in that, as I have expressed from the onset, it is always expanding and contracting, both. And in that, there is always the opportunity through choice to be creating new.
Yes. Okay.
That is what I have expressed to you previously in relation to imagination is your ability to tap into everything that exists. But from that
is inspiration.
Imagination can spark inspiration, and yes. Inspiration is the component that allows you to create new.
Do you think I'm an inspirationalist?
I would say yes.
Okay, so the bell went off. You don't have to go into that more. But the bell went off. So I have two other questions I want to ask, and we don't have much time. But one, when I was reading that one session and you were talking about the truth of love, and you were saying that some people have given themselves that experience, you know, for just a brief period of time and physical focus. When I had that dream where I met you on the mountaintop and we embraced, and that feeling I had, was that the truth of love that I was feeling?
I would say that the experience was, and that you translated that with a feeling.
Okay, so love is not necessarily a feeling, obviously, if it's found in all dimensions.
Correct.
All right, well, that'll be something more to talk about later. And then also, when you say, the shift. Okay, so when you say transition, obviously, like you talk about, we can talk about when we die, we transition. And then we're all, a lot of us now, are transitioning in physical focus, which is what the shift is, you know, in regards to the shift. But I just have a question. I kind of have a sense or a feeling. I think I know what it means. But when you say transition within physical focus in regards to the shift, what do you mean transition from what to what?
I just the want to transition or the state of transition in physical focus is that which allows you to be becoming more aware of your reality in different capacities. Not only in what you have been accustomed to previously.
Okay. All right.
You are transitioning in relation to this shifting consciousness and therefore becoming more aware. It aids you in shifting.
Yes. Okay. Anyhow, we have to stop now. Elias, thank you so much. Gosh, I really enjoy our conversations. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are exceptionally welcome, my friend.
Oh, Elias.
I greatly anticipating our next meeting.
Me
and
too.
Engaging fun in interaction with you.
Boy, do I like the sound of that. I'm ready for some fun.
I shall be anticipating of that, my friend.
Okay, me too.
In tremendous lovingness to you, as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir.